Please have your Bibles open at 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, if you've been watching the news recently, you should have come across Daniel and Amy MacArthur from the Ashers Baking Company in Northern Ireland. People come across them? Good. That's encouraging. So it's good that you know what I'm talking about. Well, as you know, they were sued by the Equities Commission in Northern Ireland for refusing to bake a cake with the slogan, "Support Gay Marriage." And they refused because it conflicted with their Christian beliefs. And the gay activist who made the order felt that this was a case of discrimination which had to be addressed. And at first, the Ashers lost the case, but they then appealed it and they lost again. Then they took it to the Supreme Court. And on the 10th of October, the final verdict was given. The Ashers had not discriminated against the individual who made the order because their problem was not with the person, but with the message on the cake. And this was an important victory for free speech in this land. An important victory against a politically correct movement that is used to getting its own way. So it really was a landmark case. Now, throughout this case, which was really an ordeal, Daniel and Amy MacArthur behaved with dignity and respect, even when everything was going against them. And it's this attitude of behaving with dignity and respect, calmly, while you wait for the final verdict, when everything seems to be going against you, which is what links them to our passage this evening. Because this is a lesson that we've all got to learn. Most of us are quite capable, and we find it very easy to behave calmly, with dignity and respect, when life is going well. When people are agreeing with us. That's easy and we should be able to manage that. But for Christians, when life is tough, when things are hard, when people are out to get us, even though we've done nothing wrong, we are called to behave calmly, with dignity and respect, regardless of any injustice that we might have to endure. And we're able to do this because we know that the ways and experiences and judgments of this world are not the final say in the matter. Instead, we all wait for that time when we appear before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one who will give the final verdict about our lives, our faithfulness, our behavior. So we look forward to him. He is the final court of appeal, because he is the highest court. There's no one who can overturn what he says. Our Savior really does have the final word. And with this in mind, the Apostle Peter starts to focus on what is surely one of the most difficult situations that people can ever be in. And it's what we see being brought out in the first of our verses this evening. When someone is being punished for doing something that is right. That's hard, isn't it? When someone is punishing you for doing something right. And in particular, Peter is writing to household slaves. Now, in the ancient world, household slaves often had a very tough life. They had demanding masters and mistresses who expected them to keep the place clean and tidy, expected them to prepare all the food on the table and not really have a life themselves. So they're there and they're having to work really hard, and they're usually underappreciated and often badly treated. And in the early church, there were many, many people who had jobs like this. The church was always very successful at first at reaching those who were at the bottom of the social pile. So there were many household slaves among the congregation that Peter was writing to. And it must have been very difficult for these people, because they knew that they had been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. But materially, physically, they were still slaves. They still belonged to another master. And even if they wanted to serve Christ, it was very difficult for them to gain their liberty, to get free. Yes, it was possible for them to buy their freedom, but that was a difficult thing for them to do. So these people were often living in very difficult situations. And here, Peter is telling them that they must submit to their masters out of a reverent fear of God. And this goes back to recognizing that God is in control of each and every situation. He's in control of the situation that you face, of the place that you occupy in society. And one of the ways that we respect him is that we are happy with the place where he has put us. We acknowledge that he is in control of all things. And we faithfully serve him at the place in society that he has put us. So we do this out of a fear of a God. It's acknowledging that he is in charge, that he is in control. And here Peter is saying to these people who were slaves at the bottom of the social heap, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters. And they're to do this because they were God's chosen people, a royal priesthood who were the Lord's public face in this world. Because how they behaved was a witness to the truth of who Jesus is. Therefore, they had to be people who were honest, hard-working, and able to continue being honest and hard-working, even when they were badly treated. It seems like a long time ago, this does, doesn't it? Today, very few people have household slaves or servants, and slavery itself is illegal. But many of us have been employees at one time or another, and most of us employ people as well. You ever have anyone clean your windows? Are you employing someone? May only be for 5 minutes. Maybe it should be 15. But you are employing someone, aren't you? So you're either an employee or an employer in one way or another. So if we're in employment or we've been in employment, we need to count our blessings if we've got good and fair people in charge. And when we've got people working for us, we need to be fair, we need to be quick to pay up and not take advantage of people. So we need to be like that if we're the one who are employing. And if we find ourselves in the situation where there's someone in charge of us who isn't very fair, who isn't very nice to us, who in fact treats us badly even though we're doing the right thing, then this is another one of those areas where the Christian has got to be very counter-cultural. And we don't stand up for our rights and make a big fuss. We show people grace. Grace is giving someone a gift or treating them in a way that they do not deserve. And Christians are people who can do this because we know that everything that's happening is being recorded. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to put everything straight and make sure that everything is fair. So Christians have to remember this as we go through this exile that is walking through this dark world. We are just passing through. We're going to a better place. And when we arrive there, every tear will be wiped away. And we know that the God who loves us so much that he sent his son to be our savior will vindicate his people. And that means, as Christians, we've got to do that hardest thing of all. If someone hurts us, we need to forgive them. We need to bless them. And this is so different to the world, which seeks to return evil with evil, sin with sin. Someone hurts you, you hurt them a bit more in return. That's the message that we get from our world. Just look at an action movie. It usually starts off with some retired special forces person and something happens to them or their family and they respond with absolute ultimate violence. And it's seen as a good thing. That's responding to violence with violence, evil with evil, sin with sin. And what comes next? Well, the person that's been meted out on just gets their own back. And on it goes. The Christian is the person who can break that cycle of retribution by showing grace, by showing forgiveness. And these are the people that we are called to be. So when evil, when sins are directed against us, and they will be deliberately because we are Christians, We are to forgive, forget, and to bless those who do these unpleasant things to us, in the hope that they will see that we are different and repent of their sins. And we're able to do this because we are people who are called to be just like our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no greater example of someone being stitched up than what happened when our Saviour went to the cross. His execution was the biggest miscarriage of justice ever. And what makes it even more amazing is that at that time, when we think about it, we know our Saviour could have got out of it at any time. He had the wisdom to talk his way out of that trial, but he chose to remain silent. In the past, he'd defeated the religious leaders in the debates, but when it got to that moment, he said very little. When they come to arrest him, Peter tried to defend him with a sword. And this is, of course, Peter, the same Peter writing this letter. He's changed a lot in those years. Peter tried to defend him with a sword, cut off the high servant's ear. And our Saviour stopped him and reminded him that he had armies of angels at his disposal. And when we read in the Old Testament of a single angel decimating hundreds of thousands of warriors, think what you can do with an army of angels. That power was at Christ's command, and he chose not to use it. Our Lord went willingly to a criminal's death, being hung on a tree. And that being hung on a tree, according to the Old Testament law, was being cursed by God, even though he was totally innocent. And when you look at his trial closely, you see that he was condemned to death for telling the truth, for saying he was the Son of Man that is there from Daniel's prophecy. The problem was that the people didn't believe him. So our Saviour went to the tree because he told the truth. Now that is a huge miscarriage of a judgment. So our Saviour knows all about being treated unfairly and being threatened, and he's got that experience of what was an incredibly painful and brutal death. Look at verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He entrusted himself to God the Father. And if our Saviour is able to do this, even when he suffered so terribly and so unjustly, then surely we can put up with a little bit of stick that we receive. And when we think about our Lord's death, we also think, don't we, straight away about his resurrection. And his resurrection was the vindication that our Saviour receives, that what he did was the right thing to do. God raised him from the dead because there was no charge against him, even though he carried our sins on his shoulders. God looks after his own. So we do not need to seek to look after ourselves. We need to learn to trust him in every situation and understand that every situation is under his control. And because he is good, it will work out for the best in the long run. Now, in our own situations, when we think back, we can see how going through a difficult situation, working in a place that was hard, being falsely accused of something, often does work out for the best. Because difficult times draw us closer to the Lord and teach us important things about him and about ourselves, while often revealing areas of our personality that need to change. This principle is supported once again by the cross of Christ. If we just looked at the surface of what's happening on the cross, it's the most terrible thing that has ever happened on this planet, as the creation tries to kill its creator. And it was the most terrible thing that we had ever done on this planet. Yet at the same time, for those of us who can see beneath the surface, we know it was one of the most wonderful things that has ever happened, because on the cross, we see the incredible love of God being shown. The cross was not some sort of miscalculation or accident. Instead, it was always the plan that God had to redeem people who had rejected him. Now, for over 1,000 years, the Jews had been acting out what was happening on a daily basis there in their temple as they made all these different sacrifices. The Jewish people, they understood That principle of substitution, where you do something wrong, and then you get an innocent animal, and your sin is transferred onto the animal, and the animal dies. They understood that. And that's what's going on there on the cross. The Lord Jesus, totally innocent, and our sins are passed over onto him, and he died. But the wages of sin could not touch him, because even though he carried our sins, and verse 24 says there, doesn't it? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He carried my sins, he carried your sins if you trusted in him. When he died, he was dying in the place of every person who would trust in him. And he died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And then in turn, we die to sin in our own life. We see that in verse 24. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. He became dirty and filthy like us so that we could be clean like him. This is why it's inconceivable for a Christian to be happy to live in sin after they're converted. Yes, Christians may backslide. They may make terrible mistakes. But when they start saying that they are happy in their sinful state, and they start arguing that it's all right for me to behave like this, then you know something is wrong. Because we, as Christians, are called to die to sins and live for righteousness. And the Lord, in his grace, has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in this. And it is something that can be a real struggle, a real problem for us. And one of the areas where we do get tempted is when something happens and we want to stand up for ourselves and demand our rights and insist that we are innocent of the charges against us. Now, sometimes when there's larger principles at stake, like in the case of the Ashers Bakers, then it's right to stand up for and say that this is wrong. But that's the exception. Most of the time, it's just our ego or our reputation which is at fault. And in those cases, we need to trust God that he will give the final verdict. And it's a hard thing to do, because one of the most painful things that can ever happen to us is that we are falsely accused of doing something. It's incredibly painful, and we do want to stand up and defend ourselves. But we need to trust in God. We need to trust that the Lord will vindicate us. And we can certainly go to him in prayer and bring the matter before him, because he has been in a situation so much worse than us. He died on that tree for our sins, and by his wounds we have been healed. The death of Christ heals us of our wounds. And this is referring to the spiritual wounds that we all acquire because of our sins. They are washed away. They are cleansed by the blood of Christ. It is referring to the emotional and psychological wounds we receive in this life. Christ will wipe away every tear when we get to the end of the journey and we see him face to face. And it's referring to those physical wounds we receive from this sinful world, things we are born with, what others have done to us, because on that day that we see Jesus face to face, on that day that he returns and comes in glory, then every believer will receive a resurrection body. A body that is going to be perfect, that's going to be fully functional. In fact, it's going to function far better than the best of bodies nowadays. And it's not going to age, grow old, or crumble, or anything else. It's going to go on for the rest of eternity. Which means we are inheriting that body because of the cross of Christ. So we can see that he heals our wounds, our spiritual wounds when we trust in him. He helps us with the psychological wounds that we acquire through this life. And when we get to the resurrection body, the physical wounds are sorted out as well. So if you're a believer, all of these different wounds that we receive are going to be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Just some of them will be healed quicker than others. And it's important that we base our expectations accordingly. But all of our wounds will be healed. Because Jesus cares for us. He loves us. He's aware of what we're going through. Verse 25 reminds us that we were sheep that had gone astray, but we've been returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And that picture of Christ as a shepherd caring for his sheep is that powerful and lovely and very familiar picture which perfectly captures our relationship with him. We're so good at going our own way, of running away, aren't we? And doing our own thing. But Christ searches for his sheep, brings his sheep in, and cares for them, and looks after them, binding up their wounds, and making sure that they are healthy, and getting good food and water. So our Lord is our shepherd, who does care for us. And that means that we can trust him as we go through difficulties. Because he knows what we're going through, he knows what we can cope with, and he's able to help in every situation. Which means when difficult times come, in whatever way they are, when they come knocking on our door, when people are nasty towards us, even if we're doing the right thing, when people are nasty towards us because we are Christians, we need to see these as an opportunity to show the same grace to others that Christ has shown to us. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because how much has our backsliding, apathy, lack of interest and focus on the things of the world hurt our Lord? But we know that when we come to him and confess our sins, he will show us grace time and time and time again in order to forgive us. It's amazing that the grace that the Lord shows to us. So we should be willing to show grace to other people, to show patience towards other people and mercy. And we can do this because as Christians we're able to take the long view. This world is broken. It's full of sin. It's full of unfair treatment. And even though we are believers, we're not protected from the terrible things that happen. So we need to be prepared, ready and unsurprised if people treat us poorly. When it happens, we need to remember what Christ went through so that we could be saved. Then just like him, we trust that he will vindicate us, show the world that our faith in him is not futile and a waste of time, that we are not doormats for people to walk on, but rather we are faithful servants who have been commanded to show love, mercy and grace to the people all around us. And we look forward to the day when our Lord and Savior returns and he puts everything right. That day when the whole world will hear the final verdict. Amen.